Welcome, my friends, to Minutes with Monica. Thank you for joining me, where you can go beyond faith to life transformed. I'm always speaking into this idea, but what does that really mean? My goal is to help you not just experience God, but to build a richer relationship in such a way that it impacts your entire life. This is not just fluff, my friends. I really and truly mean this. I want you to understand that you are capable of having this, or you are eligible. That's a really poor choice of words, but this is an option for you to be able to not just build this richer and deeper relationship with God, but to do it in such a way that your entire life is shifted and you can experience this. When you do that, you're allowing yourself to experience spiritual health and ultimately peace in Christ. And so that is what the space I'm in today, and that I'm always in with my podcast, is helping you to have the resources that you need in order to do that. It's different for each of us. There is no specific tool or guideline that we need in order to gain that spiritual health or that peace that comes through Christ. There are lots of different podcasts that I have out there that speak into each of these ideas in different ways. But today, and actually this entire month, I've been dedicating the topics to marriage and faith. And you're going, well, okay, so I'm not married. But if you're not married, you got to ask yourself, is there still relevancy in what I'm talking about today? And what I would say to you is, yeah, there definitely is. Because remember, my tagline is this idea of beyond faith to life transformant. It's not because I just think that's a great tagline and you should just jump on the bandwagon with it, but it's because I believe it, because I know it exists. So let me take a few minutes to explain to you why. You see, the entire Bible tells the story of how God and humans engage together in relationship. If you look at Jesus's ministry, you can see that he uses some really odd ways of telling stories sometimes. We call those parables, but it's more than that. He used parables to make them more relatable to the people's lives, in which in turn made them easier to understand. I don't know about you, but if you look at some of the text in the New Testament and you see the original story, sometimes it's a little difficult to grasp the meaning behind that. And so Jesus made it a lot more user-friendly, for lack of better words, so that it was more relatable for the lives of the people that were living it at the time, but not just then, but for us now. Excuse me. And the Old Testament is pretty much the same exactly, except for there are messengers for God, rather than him speaking directly to the people himself. And there's too many examples of that to go into, so you'll just have to peek, Google it, right? If you can't find it any other way, if you don't know how to look for it in the Bible, that's okay. Google it. But there's this idea of God uses individuals to speak to the people because he doesn't do that on his own. And one of those connecting stories or themes that help us to understand how we should relate to God is this idea of marriage. When I developed the podcast and the videos and these stories that I share through Minutes with Monica, it wasn't designed to tell you how to work through certain issues in this step-by-step. And I really tread lightly on these topics like marriage because I don't get down into the nitty-gritty of how to work through marital issues or even how to engage in that relationship per se. the ultimate purpose of these podcasts and the videos is to help you explore and enrich your faith, right? And does marriage have any relevancy for those listeners who aren't married? I'm going to have to let you decide that. I can tell you exactly what I think, but unless you listen and you experience it on your own, you're probably not going to have a great answer for that. So again, today I wanted to share a little more about what God says concerning marriage. And I laugh because I think it's so much wider than that. And we're going to find out as I dig into this. So let me start with this idea of relationship. And we're going to look at it from an earthly perspective as well as this divine intervention in our life. And so let's start with this idea of relationship and how we understand it. There are a few people we meet in our lives in which we are intimate with. And I know I am an extrovert and I could sit down over a cup of coffee and tell you a lot about my life. But there are very few people in which I'm actually intimate with. And I'm not talking about sexual intimacy here, but rather this place in which our hearts connect. You know what I'm talking about. I know you do. This place where our hearts connect with somebody. We look them in the eyes, we're telling them a story, and we're like, oh, they get it. Or the other way around, right? They're telling us a story, and you're like, oh, I get it. And there's this connection that occurs. And it goes deeper than that, but that's that surface piece of it, right? It's this place in which our hearts ultimately connect with one another, and in which that space in which we experience a real vulnerability. Marriage, or if we look at it as a relationship with God, is one of those times. But consider how that is lived out and not just felt emotionally. So I was just listening to a speaker, and I'm not going to get his name right, so I'm not even going to use it right now, but he's talking about the differences between men's brain and women's brain, and I love it because he talks about women being emotional creatures, and so when anything happens in our lives, we feel it. But there was a positive to that, because I know instantly some of you went to this negative side of that, but there's a positive to it, because he talks about this interconnection, right? These memories that engage when we do that. But total digression there, because it was a great side note. But back on track here, when we engage in deeply personal or intimate relationships, there's a certain barrier that comes down. I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you've experienced this. It's this sense of nakedness of the heart and the soul that's expressed through the story of the Garden of Eden. Look back at that. I promise you'll find what I'm talking about. Because it's when we share memories, and whether they're good or bad moments, in general, we just share. And this isn't some awkward conversation in which we sit down with the other person, we just bare our souls. That's not what I'm talking about here. No, it actually occurs over time as our trust builds up and we develop this relationship, because we know that we're protected from a fallout in these kinds of relationships. And we get to know that person so well that when something is amiss, we can literally sense it in our beings. And going back to that woman and man thing, it could be something that a woman does better than a man, but I would like to believe that men also get this. They may not have the emotional tie like a woman does, and I'm not saying men don't have emotions, because that's not true, but I'm saying they may not be able to literally sense it like a woman does, but they know something's up when somebody they're incredibly close to is in a bad or difficult place, right? Or there's a disconnect in that relationship. But let me go back to the Garden of Eden for just a minute. Go back there with me just a minute and look at the story. Because after Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, they hide themselves from God. I know you've heard that, but I really want you to focus in on this idea. Because when we do something that we know would hurt the other person with whom we have an intimate relationship, what do? We tend to hide it, right? I don't want them to know what I did, right? It's not any different. This is what Adam and Eve are experiencing. They're trying to hide themselves. But don't you think it's interesting if you read this story that God knew the truth before it was even asked or there was even a discussion? Aside from the fact that he's God, of course, right? But how about us? Don't we have a similar radar that tells us when something is just not right? And I know this is a strength of women typically, but men have the same thing. And that's because this is developed as we engage with the other person in these relationships. It deepens with the passing of time and shared experiences, or at least it's supposed to. So if you're not in that space, maybe you need to go back and ask yourself, how do I get to that space? Now, I know I mentioned the word marriage here, but what about any relationship? Does this not work for any relationship? Think about your best friend. Do you not think that this connects in that space? And so, again, this deepening that occurs with the passing of time and shared experiences can also be said about our relationship with God. And as we begin to have conversations with Him, unlike heart-to-heart conversations, not, Lord, give me this, or Lord, I'm sorry I did this, but actual heart-to-heart conversations, when we share our lives, yes, He sees our lives, but just like in Adam and Eve's story, He wants to engage with us. And so when we share our lives with Him, we set in place the beginnings of a relationship. God's already there, but this is our piece. And when we start to do this, we set these things in motion. And as we read about His character and His desire to love us in the Bible, we get to know Him more intimately. All of that is sort of sealed when we begin to take note of the moments in our lives in which God is physically present. In more recent years, we've been hearing this, that God sighting. Oh, that was a God moment. But there is a benefit, even as flippant as those sound, there is a benefit in noticing that. It sort of seals our relationship with Him, because prior to that, we're just engaged in our conversation with Him. But when we start to take note of the moments in which He shows up, there's a shift in that relationship. There is an intimacy, but there's also, it becomes more twofold in our eyes. It always was twofold in His. And when we experience something that we know that He's orchestrated and it's blessed us, then a trust takes root in that place, in our minds and our hearts. And if we continue to build the relationship and allow ourselves to be that naked, you know, in a sense, just bearing all before God, then that trust takes on a whole new level. It does become a model of what we think marriage should look like, right? The things I'm talking about, isn't that kind of our image of what a marriage is? It does become that place of safety and security that we hope for in our personal lives with others. It's that deep and impenetrable love that holds through the storms of life. And I'm sorry, right there when I think of that, I go to two places. I go to the Lord and I go to marriage. There's another part of marriage relationship that's used in the Bible to explain our commitment to God. And before we talk about it, I want to just say to you, I hope I'm not treading on really thin ice with some of you out there. So if I am, please reach out to me. I always say this, but if you go to monicaswink.org and you check out the homepage, there is a contact link and you can shoot me some emails. So if I'm touching on some thin ice, please don't hesitate to do that. Reach out to me and let's have a conversation, because I don't want you just to step away because you hear something that's ugly in this place or something that is hard for you to hear in this place. Okay, that enough said. But this part of marriage relationship that I want to talk about is used as an example to our commitment to God as well as to reflect to marriage. And it's one that we don't like to acknowledge about ourselves, and actually, quite honestly, one that scares the daylights out of us when we consider that it actually might be a practice of our spouses. And that's this idea of forgetfulness. That's just the start. You see, from forgetfulness comes unfaithfulness and then ultimately abandonment. I told you there's some ugly parts. At least these images of forgetfulness, faithfulness, and abandonment, at least the idea of that comes from how we have been given the proof of human history throughout time and how they hold onto their relationship with God. So I'm not pointing specific fingers here, and I hope you're not as well. But I want you to understand all of us humans are prone to this. And if I could avoid this topic in marriage, most of us would be incredibly happy. It would give us a peace and a sense of rest to not think that this might be an option for our own personal marriages. Do you suppose this is because in some sense we lose a little bit of control, or is it more than that? I don't know. These are questions you have to answer yourself. Does it go back to a connection with the vulnerability that we offer to another person, especially that of our spouses? Again, you have to answer that yourself, but in my opinion, I think it does. And I think that God speaks about this as well. I think it's from page one to page whatever page your Bible ends on. If you draw parallel lines from God and human relationships, maybe a balance is a better option. But if you put on one side human and God relationships and the other side of a scale, husband and wife relationships, then I promise you can find lots of similarities. And one of those is this idea of forgetfulness. Oh, there's a huge difference. I'm not going to get into this all the way, but I guess you would want to draw an arrow from human up to God, and then an arrow back and forth between husband and wife, because you can't really draw an arrow from God to humans because he doesn't forget. But in the context that I'm trying to express today, this idea of forgetfulness, when one partner forgets the other, there's a division that's formed and it gets filled up. Maybe it's more like a big hole, a big crater in the earth. And for one partner, that crater forms and then it fills up with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. But there's another thought I want you to focus on right now, and that is, what causes one person to forget? Not just an event or a day, but on a regular basis. And this is that connection to Scripture, because humans regularly forget God. Again, not pointing fingers. I said humans. I think I qualify for that. You see, it's a lack of attention given to a relationship. And I know some of you might think it's because of a dissolving love, but I don't think so. And here's a look at why I don't think so. Is that when we do more than talk with each other regularly, there's a trail of intimate communication that's left open. So if our times together are activities and dreams and planning a future, then our minds set in place these images or these goals for getting to these places. And the opposite is true. If we don't do this, if we not only have no draw, if we don't have any draw to one another, then we have no commonality. We slowly forget the value of our relationship. As we've seen in marriages across the world, if one partner disengages, the intimacy is lost. Now, I'm not saying it's not repairable or not restorable, because again, I think that lends a picture into scripture, and that's what happens with God and humans, is that humans disengage and intimacy is lost, but yet God is able to restore. And so if that happens in that sense, I think it happens in an earthly sense as well. But if we allow this to continue and we don't re-engage and we don't heal and repair, eventually passion is lost. And ultimately, there's nothing left to hold us together. Our memories fade, and that they lose the emotions that are often remembered when we think on them. Again, I know I said women have more emotion attachments to memories, but men have them as well. And it is in this place where we have to learn to re-engage, and we have to learn to restore this relationship that we see again played out in scripture over and over again. Because if we don't do this, there's almost a guarantee of this falling apart. But if we use these examples that we have laid out in scripture, we see this falling apart. We see humans falling away. There are so many stories. And I don't really know where to begin, because there are literally so many stories. But always my go-to is the Exodus, because it's just such a great, powerful story, and most of us are familiar with it. And when we come out of these places, or in these spaces with God, and specifically in the story of the Exodus, is there's the wilderness. And they've just been rescued and restored, and already they start to forget. You see, my friend, we're human. We get caught up in our own world, in our own life. And when you have an intimate relationship with somebody, such as an earthly marriage, the same thing can happen. But it still can be re-engaged and restored, because the living proof is in what we have seen God do in those spaces. And I know that some of you might be thinking that I'm blowing smoke, or that I don't have the qualifications to say these things. But be honest, my friends, this is not rocket science. Some of it is stuff we just need to hear again. Some of it is new learning for some. We all have to learn things at one point or another. So for some of you, this might be the first time you're hearing this. But again, I don't think it's rocket science. It's just this interaction in relationship, right? And if we use the Bible as an example, then we see these truths played out again and again in the relationships between humans and God. And I gave you a couple examples. But if you think on them, you can look at any of the patriarch stories. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. You can see any of these stories played out in their lives. And it's again and again and again. It's a repetitive situation. When Israel falls as a nation, it's because this forgetfulness. So we're not exempt from this. And there's a way to overcome it. And again, I'm talking about this relationship between humans and God, and this is the highest form of intimacy that we can experience, but it is also an example for all other physical and emotional connections that we make. Just as God provides guidelines for how to remember His love, His care, His provisions for us, that we should also find ways to remember these same things in our earthly relationships. And when we do, not only can they sustain themselves over time, but they can open up the potential to be incredibly healthy. Think on the friends that you know or family members that you know that have these kinds of relationships. And every relationship ebbs and flows to the good and the bad through the strong and the weak moments. But use these examples that I'm talking about today and continually engage in relationships through activity and through conversation and through doing life together, and you will find health and longevity in them. Now, that's earthly. Take that and do the same thing in your heavenly relationship. And I believe at the very beginning of this podcast, I said what you would do was, if you were able to do that, engage in your spiritual relationship with God in this way, then you would experience spiritual health and ultimately peace in Christ. Peace is there from the day that we accept Christ, but we don't always allow it to work in our lives the way it is intended to do. But my friends, if you are focusing your attention and your time and your energy on the things that we just talked about today, that is going to be something that's forefront in your mind and your heart, or ultimately in your spirit. So this is just a portion of Life with Minutes with Monica. I really, really hope that you will find other ways to engage in at monicaswank.org, all kinds of resources out there. And the ultimate goal for you is allowing you to go beyond your faith to life transformed. My friends, sometimes you're listening and you don't know what the next step is. The next step for you, I believe, is to reach out and contact me. Schedule a consultation. Let's talk about what we can do, what you want, what you're desiring, whether that is in your own personal life, in your own personal earthly relationships, or in your relationships with God. Reach out. Let's have a conversation. There's no cost for you to do that. And I love journeying with you, and I love watching you experience some of these things for the first time or in a renewed sense. I love you, my friends. I'm grateful for this journey that you allow me to take with you. Until the next time, be in your space with God and check out resources, monicaswank.org. I love you. Blessings, my friends.